This week's Torah reading, Parshat Kedoshim, is known as the Holiness Code, for it contains many of the mitzvot that have to do with holiness, and the imperative at the beginning, in some ways, can be understood as the vision or mission statement of the Jewish people: you shall be holy because I, the Lord, your God, am holy. Interestingly, though, according to most commentaries, especially Rabbi Akiva, the most important mitzvah of the entire Torah, the most important mitzvah of the entire Torah, is found in Parshat Kedoshim. It is the mitzvah of V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, that you should love your neighbor like yourself. Whenever I think about this comment, I'm reminded of a newspaper cartoon that I clipped quite a few years ago that depicts a rather testy-looking woman greeting her minister on exiting church. The caption reads, "I'd like to see you love my neighbors." In many ways, with anti-Semitism spiking today in so many places in which we live, what do we do if we can't love our neighbors? What happens if we just don't feel love for our neighbors, especially at a moment in which it feels that our neighbors are not giving so much love to us? V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha is a lofty idea, to be sure, but it's not always so practical. So how do we live up to it? How do we live up to this mitzvah? Hillel understood the mitzvah in the negative, creating one way by which we might be able to fulfill this mitzvah in his famous take on the golden rule: do not do unto others as you would not have them do unto you. In other words, Hillel's solve for those moments where you might not be able to love your neighbors is not to think about love, but rather to think about restraint. Don't do to others as you would not have them do to you. You can't command a feeling, you can't command love, so therefore you can command an action, or in this case, an inaction. Loving your neighbor, for Hillel, is showing restraint. Rambam, Maimonides, he reads Hillel into the Lamed in L'Re'echa. You shall love Le, toward your neighbor. Rabbi Shlomo Riskin notes how Martin Buber utilizes the strange prefix that Lamed to establish a fundamental principle of human relationships. We might have expected, he writes, the phrase to place you shall love as the subject and your neighbor as the object. But a human being is never to be seen as an object, says Buber. A fellow human being is never to be acted upon. He must always be related to L'Re'echa. Rabbi Shai Held, who will be here in the fall as a scholar in residence over a Slichot weekend before Rosh Hashanah, he has a new book out called The Torah of Love. He writes that the Torah integrates action and emotion. When the Torah asks for love, he says, it is calling for not only a feeling, but it's calling for both a feeling and something other than a feeling, for feeling and for action. He too quotes Rambam that if we want to learn to feel compassion, we can engage in a compassionate act. And through that act, over the course of time, we can change our character. The Torah says in Deuteronomy, for example, V'yata Yisrael madonai lehecha shoel mimcha, and now Israel, what is it that God asks of you? What does God demand of you? Ki im liyir'a et adonai lehecha, that you shall revere God, Lalechet b'chol derachav, walking God's ways, ulahava oto, and love, ulavod et Adonai, and serve Adonai Elohecha, the Lord your God, b'chol levavcha u'b'chol nafshecha, with all of your heart and with all of your soul. Notice the verb pattern here that Shai very cleverly points out. The pattern is fear, walk, love, and serve. Fear, walk, love, and serve. Emotion, act. That integration of emotion and action. The pattern of verbs, I think, is also therefore a response to the moment in which we live. What do we do about this moment? How do we maintain these ideals, these values, such as ve'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, we should love our neighbor and ourselves, at a time in which hate seems to be rising, directed towards us from our neighbors, by and large? Well, fear is a normal response. It's okay to be afraid. There's much to be fearful about. But we dare not live within that fear without an action to counteract it and allow us to find hope and to move beyond it. So I want to suggest an action that we can do that's coming up very soon in our community. And that is to register and to walk for Israel with our community the beginning of June. I just attended a meeting yesterday going over all the security concerns and actions that are going to be taken to ensure the security of the walk, where there's normally 25,000 plus members of our community walking in support of Israel. And there's a lot of concern that the counter-protesters that will be there, and how are the police going to keep the keep us safe and keep the counter-protesters safe and also at a distance. And it's a tense time, that's for sure. But if we stay home, if we feed into the fear and we allow it to paralyze us, then we're giving them a win, because that's ultimately what they want. So, an action. Walk for Israel. Register. Show up. Be present. Also, I want to talk about love. Fear, walk, love. Being with our community in strong numbers is an act of love. As I said, there were 25,000 people in attendance at the walk last year. It's the largest gathering of Jewish people in the world outside of the New York Yom HaTzma'ut parade. But the parade in New York is sponsored by organizations and is literally a parade with floats and all the chazarai that goes with the parade. This is the largest pro-Israel gathering in the world historically outside of Israel. And there's something really, really powerful and profound about being together, especially in large numbers. And I think this year, if there were 25,000 last year, we should aim for 30, 35,000 this year. This year, more than other years, it matters to show up. It matters to be part of a loving community. It matters to be proud Zionists who love Israel, not without its criticisms, not without its concerns, because true love points out the areas that could be better. But this year, more than other, it matters to show up. Fear, walk, love. And by the way, we're not alone. It doesn't always seem like there are enough allies out there, but we have our allies. This week, Reverend David L'Amour, who is the rabbi at King Street Church in Oshawa, where I was invited just before Pesach to do an interfaith Seder in his church. He came to visit with me and to see Betzedek, and he and I and Reverend Jason Bainse, who's from Timothy Eaton Church, where we did the Interfaith Solidarity Rally last November, the three of us plus Rabbi Splansky from Holy Blossom are getting together, and we're trying to figure out what's next in terms of building this interfaith relationship and alliance. It means so much to me, and it should mean so much to us as a community, that these people and their churches continue to think about us, to pray for us, and to be engaged with us. And if that weren't enough, yesterday in my voicemail, I picked up a call from a person whose name is Robert, who's been not Jewish, but reading and watching everything that's going on, and just wanted to call and share with someone in the Jewish community that he thinks that what's happening in the world is absurd, that Israel has every right to defend itself, that the Jewish community in Canada have every right to feel safe and be free from anti-Semitism. And he just felt the need to pick up the phone and to share his concern, his love with the Jewish community. Fear, walk, love. All of these elements from this pasuk in Deuteronomy are coming to play at this moment, as is serve. To serve the Jewish people and to serve Torah, who would have thunk that Eden Golan, Israel's entry to Eurovision, would have made the finals in such an environment? And yet she did. This evening, before Shabbat is over, she's going to be singing. She's probably not going to win, but there is a notion that she could place within the top five, which would be amazing. And if you haven't heard her, and if you haven't heard the song Hurricane, you should listen to it. She's fantastic. And yesterday, she couldn't leave her hotel room because 5,000 pro-Palestinian protesters were in the square, and the Shin Bet basically told her she needed to stay put. It's a crazy, crazy world that we're living in. And yet, when she was asked about it, she responded with such courage and wisdom and poise and said, "Your vision is about singing. It's about coming together. It's not about division. And I hope through my song and the songs of others that are performing here, we can focus on what unites us, not on what divides us." I can't think of a better example of what it means to serve God and to serve humanity than that. Actually, I can. Also this week, a group of students, university students, testified in the House of Commons about anti-Semitism on campus and the experiences that they're having. That's serving the Jewish people and serving Canadians as well. And what courage to come forward and put yourself out there and share your experiences with those that have the power and ought to do something about it. If anything, at least insisting on the implementation of laws that are on the books and the regulations that already exist on university campuses. Fear, walk, love, serve. Emotion, act, emotion, action. As Rabbi Shai Held said, our Torah integrates emotion with action. V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha is not a command just to love, it is a command to love and then to act on that love. Note that in all these commentaries, v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha is not dependent on how our neighbors treat us. The mitzvah is to rise upon a tit for tat, a quid pro quo, but to do what is right because it is right. I had a conversation over dinner this week in which we talked about how do you navigate these moments of crisis. And my answer was quite simple. Kedoshim, this parsha, this mitzvah, at a moment of crisis, at a moment of disruption, the only response is to lean into our values. To lean into our values. Principles only matter when they're challenged, and we are being challenged at this moment. Rabbi Jonathan Sacks says, the Torah is concerned not only with our behavior, but also with our character. Not just about what we do, but also the kind of person we become. This parsha, this mitzvah, outlines what that is. And so at this moment in which we feel afraid, at this moment in which we sometimes wonder what is the best response for the insanity, the topsy-turviness of the world that we are facing, the parsha comes to remind us to rise above it. V'ahavta l'recha kamocha, to be the example of what it means to live to be good neighbors, and to live in a community that values diversity, freedom, justice, love, humanity. What a great, great message for us at this moment. V'ahavta l'recha kamocha. How will you take that mitzvah into your life at this time?